Roll call vote, Carolyn.
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
All right. The next item would be the flag salute, if you'll join me.
Ready? Again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
I apologize for being late. I got a call at 5:30 that a water heater in a rental house had blown, and that's in Santa Maria. So I've made it there and back. Anyway, the next item on the agenda is the agenda review, item number 4. I do have one change. I wanted to table item 10D. I've gotten a lot of calls from the public and emails regarding this item, and Mr. Martin's not here. Welcome, Mr. Hyatt. Mr. Martin is not here to defend it, shall we say? Go ahead, Mary.
I was thinking if it's possible that we could have the discussion, and if we need to hold off on a vote.
If you guys want to leave it on, I think it's good
to discuss it. It seems to be something that some people are concerned about.
I have no problem with that.
Oh, Lori?
That's fine.
Okay, then I'm overruled. Moving, I'd like to, the utility, is there anybody here on the will serves? Okay, not being anyone here, if there were anybody here, I would move them up above the business items, but we'll just leave them as they are.
Can we add them to consent?
Well, we can add them to the consent agenda. Is there any objection to that? We'll move the items that are 11A and B. The operations and maintenance, we should leave those in, I think, where they are. Okay. Move items 11A and B up to the consent agenda. Is there any other changes or deletions or additions? Then, if there's nothing else, if there's a motion to approve as Elizabeth Ray. Hmm. Well, let me ask her. Elizabeth, we're putting your item on the consent agenda. Do you want to be heard on that? Okay. Your issues were handled?
Yep.
Okay.
Great.
All right. All right. Is there a motion to approve as modified?
I move we accept the agenda as modified.
Okay. I have one correction to... I do have one correction to the April 26th Oceano Community Farmers Market minutes at the bottom where it says costs associated with the event. $15 was for the application for the center.
We're on agenda review, though. We're not to consent agenda.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No,
but we're including that in the consent agenda
right.
Time. Don't worry.
That's great. But if you want to interrupt.
I just want to make sure that if we can take comments on things that are on the agenda.
Yeah. If you read your agenda, you can.
Okay. Go ahead.
I just need a clarification.
Go ahead, yeah. Ms. Tack. That's always where you start your time.
Thank you very much. Specifically, what I'd like to speak to is the Hall, Hyatt, and Conley bill for April, just last month. The total is $16,807.93. Of course, I expected the bill to be higher. A lot of things happened in April. What I'd like to see and what we used to see was a breakout of who was being charged. My name showed up on occasion. Ms. Naylor. Actually, I thought that was inappropriate at the time, but if you're going to have some consistency, I'd like to see how much of that bill is charged off to Mr. Gieslin. I'd also like to know how much of that bill is charged to this item 10D. Mr. Martin obviously spent a considerable amount of time on it. What he may not remember is it March 23rd of 2012, your board held a Saturday meeting. Don't check my dates and
I think that's about right.
I think it was March 23rd. To go over the Brown Act and the Public Records Act. That morning, I sat in. I was the only public that attended. Only a few directors attended. There was a Brown Act presentation by Molly and Chase, but we never did get to the Public Record Act. And I think that that would be prudent. Maybe not tonight. That's not the discussion. I think we need to really drill down into what the Act means, because you don't have to rewrite the Act. The Act is very clear. It tells you what the rules are. And what I see in your agenda packet is a violation of the Act. And you're paying a lot of money to violate the Act if you indeed adopt any portion of those changes. So Brown Act training, it's time again. That should be annually. Conflicts of interest, Mr. Hyatt could probably give you an explanation of what the 1090 conflict is, a revolving door conflict. District code, your own district code, your own structure of how your district is made up, of who's in charge and how that works. Policies and procedures, yes, you adopted them, but you're not following them. You're violating your own bylaws. So the resolution that your board passed in November regarding the Farmers Market Committee, if you had followed that to the letter, I don't think you'd be in the trouble that you're in today with regard to all the money that's going that direction. So I encourage you to take a look at just what's already available to you, and thank you for
thank
the
you,
time.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Thank you very much.
I see Mr. Edwards coming forward. Mr. Edwards? Good evening.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Board members, good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards. For a couple minutes, I wanted to talk about the economy, and I think everybody's seen how things are picking up and the real estate market's improving dramatically. Some of your neighbors, they're pursuing big projects right now. Last night, the city of Pismo Beach met their city council, and they heard an update on four projects just in their city, or working on annexations into their city. The Spanish Springs project, you may know about that, includes over 400 residential units, some 73 multifamily units, a hotel with a conference center, senior housing. Then there's the Pismo Ranch specific plan, 310 dwelling units, 60 multifamily, 175 unit lodging facility. Then there's a couple smaller projects, but just in Pismo, there's almost 800 single family homes and hotels, conference centers. You may know that in April, the California Coastal Commission approved the Grover Beach project on Grand Avenue and Highway 1, hotel, conference center. The paradox here is that these communities, Grover and certainly AG, they're pursuing these big projects, and it's not abundantly clear that they have enough water. And so my message to you this evening is some of that development is Oceano's. You have the resources. You have the water. And not that you want 1,000 people or new dwelling units or hundreds of hotel rooms, but how about a little piece of that? A little piece that would stimulate real revitalization, bring in private investment, not just...
Moving on to the consent agenda, items 7A and B, and which also now include items 11A and B. Is there any board discussion? Any changes? You've made the one change to the minutes?
That was it for me.
Is there a motion then, if I don't hear any other comments?
Well, I move that we accept the consent agenda with the... Are we doing this again? With the listed changes, 11A and B, which is will serve.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Ms. Ray, congratulations. Moving on to item number 8A, Sheriff South Station. I don't see Commander.
There he is.
He's all dressed up.
He's all dressed up.
Good evening, Commander Hackett.
Well, good evening. Sorry I didn't wear my costume for you, but I had meetings all day long. Just going to give you some numbers. In the last 30-day period, we had 428 calls for service in Oceano. That included 5 burglaries, 4 thefts, 9 cases of vandalism, 48 disturbing the peace calls, which ranged in everything from families fighting to loud music to construction noise. We had 1 assault with a deadly weapon. Mm-hmm. That occurred on the 3rd of May at about 8 p.m. A young man by the name of Chance Macare was involved in a fight on 24th Street near the 2300 block of Ocean. During the course of the fight, he produced a knife and stabbed the person he was fighting with. We had detectives, narcotics officers who were on duty in a nearby area who responded. We had members of the gang task force. We had a sheriff's canine. We were assisted by Arroyo Grande Police Department, state parks, highway patrol, and a manhunt ensued. The deputies had some information as to where he might be staying, and they staked out a location on Pier Avenue. And at about 10 o'clock at night, they saw him walking to that location with a bag of groceries. The deputies stepped out of the shadows to kind of confront him. He took leg bail. There was a foot pursuit down Pier Avenue, and unfortunately Mr. Macari forgot there was a lagoon and he ran into it. He apparently doesn't swim well, so he floundered till he reached the center of the lagoon, and at some point his feet made contact with the bottom and he realized that he could actually stand up in the lagoon. And at that point we had a standoff. He was not going to come to the shore, and the deputies were not going to swim after him because we didn't know if he was still armed. So there was a brief standoff. Fortunately, we had the environmental conditions on our factor. He got very cold very quickly. And a little bit after midnight, he made his way to the shoreline, and the deputies arrested him, and he was taken into custody without incident. So the case is now filed and should be in the court system. The other things that occurred during the last 30 days, on the 25th, we had a sheriff's town hall meeting that was hosted here at the CSD. It was well attended. It was a good opportunity for people to talk to the sheriff. One of the things that came out, and I will mention it only because some folks don't really understand, a lot of the things that we do or don't do are dictated by state law or by legislation. There were some questions about arresting drug offenders. Why don't we arrest more people for Health and Safety Code Section 11550, use and under the influence of a controlled substance? Why are we incarcerating them for the 90 days that are that the statute dictates they're supposed to be incarcerated for? And I had to explain to the one gentleman the issue was that many years ago the legislature decided to pursue an avenue of treatment and rehabilitation, and within that we have a diversion program, actually diversion and several other programs that the court has implemented with the probation department. And it's not that we don't arrest people for using drugs or being under the influence of drugs, it's just how the court and the legislatures have chosen to address it, and they're trying to do treatment rather than incarceration. Now, jail is very therapeutic for some people, but it's not necessarily the correct pursuit in every case. And when you throw in the added burden to our jail system placed by AB 109, we really need to free up as many bed spaces as we can to deal with the prisoners from the state prison system that are being returned to county custody. So it's not that we are choosing to ignore a problem. It's not that. It's we have to operate within the confines and the limits of the law and legislation that's passed. The other event that I wanted to talk about was April 27th, and that was a kind of fueled by the Salgado homicide. And I won't belabor the point. There were a lot of folks who had information, who knew what was going on, that were reluctant to talk to us. And if we don't try to break those barriers down, God forbid we should have another one of these incidents, we're going to be right back where we were again, months and months and months, and thousands of dollars of taxpayer money to try and work a case to its conclusion, when we might be able to shorten the time if the public would talk to us. So the program this last, on the 27th, this last Saturday, we had a gang officer, Hank Abbas, who's one of our deputies assigned to the gang unit, who came in and he talked to the kids about gangs, and it was age-appropriate information to try and kind of coax them into making better decisions, right decisions. Deputy Glenn Holzer, who's one of our school resource officers, came in and talked about the GREAT program, which is a replacement to the DARE program that we're teaching in the schools. And he also told the kids there's going to be a GREAT summer camp that the sheriff's office will be hosting in Oceano this summer, kind of drumming up some support and business for that as well. And then after we had bored the children enough with the safety message, we brought in two of our canines, and they got to play with the dogs. They got to see the dogs do searches for narcotics. They got to also see the dogs work with a person who was in a bite sleeve. The thing that I think was impressive, and I know President Guerrero attended, the thing that was probably most impressive is just how disciplined these dogs really are. They're not just a land shark that you turn loose and kind of fire and forget. And a demonstration that the deputies did, they turned the dog loose, one of them, and the dog was at a dead run towards the bad guy, and two-thirds of the way downrange, he yelled a command that was basically the off switch, and the dog stopped, made a big loop, and came right back to the side of the handler. So, you know, I think more demonstrations like that for as many people, and as many especially adult members of the public, so they understand when they read it in the newspaper that a canine does bite a suspect, well, you had to have done something. I mean, it's not just, you know, a junkyard dog. It's a highly trained and disciplined tool that we use. And the kids got to see it as it's a dog. I mean, it's a working dog. It's no different than a dog on a ranch that works, but they have a playful side too. So it was a good interaction for both, and we were happy to do it. The next Saturday with the sheriff will be May 25th at the Boys and Girls Club in Oceano, and we're going to have Search and Rescue come and do a presentation. And it'll be on personal safety and give the kids tips if they're out hiking, you know, hiking in the dunes or something, you get lost, what you should do to help us find you. And then also we'll demonstrate some of the Project Lifesaver equipment, which the kids are just going to notice that we put a bracelet on Mr. Curiel, the director, and tell him to get lost, and then we're going to go find him. But more to the point, I'm hoping to draw the media in to do a story about the club and the Saturdays with the Sheriff program, and also Project Lifesaver, which, if you're familiar with it, we use for elderly folks. We partnered with the Lions Club, and that helps us to locate people who may go missing if they're suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's. So we're hoping to get some media coverage as well, besides have a good time with the kids. So I'm open for questions.
And I thought you were renamed Commander Haskell.
Well, I had to assure the sheriff that he will not forget. I took him aside quietly, and I reminded him I had a mustache, and I'm a full inch taller than him. So she had no excuse for making that mistake.
Well, both were great events. I was at both of them, and I took my kids to the Boys and Girls Club as well, and we had our dog, and she wasn't attacked by the sheriff's dog. So, but it was really a great event. I think there was probably, about 40 kids there that got to see it?
I was a little worried at first. We showed up, and there were five or six hardcore kids playing basketball at, you know, 8:45 in the morning, and by about 10:30, the number had dramatically increased. So
it's Oceano. We're not up yet. That's what
like my house, they don't roll out of bed too early in the morning. So.
Right. But thanks for doing that. It was really a cool thing to watch those dogs work.
I do have a comment. I, too, attended the town hall, and I was certainly impressed by many of the things that Sheriff Parkinson has put in place. But I really like the canine for many, many reasons, but I really like that it's filled in the slots for officers having partners and not going out alone. Right. A partner is a partner is a partner is a partner. It's hot. I love it.
Well, the thing that amazes me, because I've not had an opportunity to work with canines in my own, I've been here for 27 years, it's the first time that we've had a variety of dogs. We'd had them prior to my arrival here in the mid-80s, but we kind of moved away from them. And the thing that's amazing is that you can have a deputy sheriff with all the tools and all the lethal weapons, and somebody will challenge them and take them on, and they can walk up with a dog, and it's over. I don't even want
people were more inclined to be on the side of law enforcement to get the problems off the street, and it really did pay off. And one of the more successful programs they had in that was midnight basketball. Mm-hmm. And you drop a quarter, the lights come on, and you play basketball, and the crime rate reduced by 50% just with that little program.
Right.
And then the community, everybody was on a neutral playing ground. So I think it's very wise of you to take notice of that and to reinforce it, and it makes a good community.
Well, the biggest, we in law enforcement, I think, have done ourselves no favors over the last 35 years of taking officers off of foot beats in communities that lend themselves to that, and putting everybody into a car and rotating people from area to area, and there's no buy-in. Nobody really feels like they're a stakeholder, and in a very short period of time, the community, and frankly some younger officers get this impression that they're an occupation force instead of a civilian police force.
That's
and
right.
And you have to break that. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do with this.
Great.
Thank you.
It was well done. Thanks,
I have
Commander.
A question also. How many dogs do you have, the canine dogs?
We have now 4, 5, 6 dogs. We have 4 protection canines, 3 German Shepherds, and a Belgian Shepherd, or what's called a Malinois. Mm-hmm. And then we have 2 Labradors. And the 2 labs, one is assigned to our narcotics interdiction unit, Deputy Barger, who he works with the narcotics unit, but his primary role is actually highway interdiction, looking for people that are smuggling drugs and cash up and down the interstate. And then we have another dog that's assigned to a correctional deputy Fisher, Josh Fisher, and that dog works in the jail, which, with the increase of inmates from the state prison system, we're now turning into a big boy jail. We're seeing an incredible increase in crime and trafficking of drugs and other things, so the dog has been really useful in that regard in trying to knock some of that down. The other thing I would mention about the 2 labs is that they're actually rescue dogs. So these were dogs that were rescued from the shelter by the trainers. Mm-hmm. And you know, they look for certain dogs that have certain characteristics. Just like people have good qualities, dogs have them too. And they found these rescue dogs and were able to train them and basically give them a new lease on life.
Great.
The Shepherds, those are dogs that come from Germany via handlers in the United States, and they're Schutzen trained, they're discipline trained initially over there, and then the training is enhanced here. So that at least we're trying to help, you know, the rescue animal community with some. And I know they do the same thing with dogs for search and rescue to look for people. That's where they try to get rescue dogs a chance.
Great. Thanks.
What does it cost for each dog that you get? Do you have any kind of other funds that you can get the dogs with? Or?
Well, I can't give you an exact dollar amount.
I
used to know the figure, and it's escaped me. I know that initially the dogs were purchased with asset forfeiture money from narcotics asset forfeiture, because I was still in the narcotics unit when that was transpiring. I know that they have done a series of fundraisers for the canine unit. They did one at the Moose Lodge in Pismo Beach. And then they did another one at, I think it was Ancient Peaks Winery in the North County, and I think they're going to plan others. That money that is raised, it's actually raised by the Sheriff's Advisory Foundation, and then it's doled out to the unit as needed. And it's not to pay for the dogs or the deputies' salaries or any type of department equipment that goes with the job. It's things like chew toys, because that's the dog's reward. It works to play with the chew toy, and that's its motivation. It's chew toys, it's vet bills, medical expenses, sort of the you know, all the adjacent costs that go with owning an animal that, frankly, we got into it and we found our deputies were paying out of their pocket for some of this stuff, and we're like, well, that, see if we can't find another avenue to pay for it. So, but as to the exact costs, I
was just curious, because I know it's got to be expensive to go through the training and then the dogs and all that. So I didn't know if you had a special fund that you held for that. But obviously you have a fund, but you also have volunteer.
Yeah, we had money for the initial purchases and setting it up, so it wasn't an impact to the taxpayer. It was money we took from drug dealers. But the ongoing maintenance, that's where we get into trying to do the fundraising.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commander Taylor. Moving on to item 8B, Five Cities Fire Authority. We have Chief Heath and Hubert here. Ricky, good evening.
Ricky. Good evening, Honorable President and Directors. This month we ran 73 incidents out of the Oceanal Station. One was a passenger vehicle fire that was up on the mesa, and the guys got there and put it out before it got into the vegetation and passed it on to CAL FIRE. And then we also had somebody put a can.
Director Guerrero, President Guerrero, and Vice President Lucy, and board members, I'm back. I started Monday, and I haven't had a chance to meet and discuss everything with all the Five Cities Fire Authority board members. I will, and they provide me some direction and as far as what their plans may be for recruitment process. But I'm here as long as you need me, and looking to prioritize what's in front of me on my desk, and with the help of Chief Heath and the rest of the staff. It feels like I'm home again. And I'm glad to see a lot of familiar faces, and everybody's been very supportive. So thank you so much.
I'm glad to see you, Chief.
Welcome.
Thanks. Welcome back.
It's really quite an honor to have you back. You know, being one of the principal architects of the JPA, you know, I feel that we're very, very fortunate for you to come back and take the leadership in the JPA during this time of transition. So thank you for even considering it. It's really a compliment that you did that. So
well, thank you. And to be honest with you, I am glad to be back. I retired approximately 18 months ago, and can only mow so many lawns and so many clubs and go so many places. But I did miss all you folks, and I'm eager to get back to work. And
great.
Thank you.
You look great.
I appreciate the support.
You look like you're still ready for action. So. Thanks,
thank
Chief.
You.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Do we have a report on 8C OCSD operations? I don't know if we have a report. Oh, it's just what we have in the staff report? Okay. And we did have that. This was actually a report that's prepared by Aaron Hughes. It's under agenda item 8C, weekly operations. This is something that Aaron would send in every week, and with the management vacancy, he just started sending it to me, and I asked the staff to go ahead and attach it so that we give us a better idea of what's going on. So, moving on to item 8D, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Director Angelo?
I didn't have any this last 2 weeks.
And then we'll go on to Director Hurdle.
Yes, I did have a farmers market meeting, on the 2nd of May. And during that meeting, it was decided by our membership that we would like to come from underneath the auspices of the OCSD. This decision was made basically because of the controversy surrounding the funding. And the funding is the issue, not the market, and we want to make that clean. And we are looking forward to establishing our non-profit status, looking for grants, and we will be doing lots of fundraisers. But we are committed to what we're doing, and I think the example of that was our Cinco de Mayo that we had Sunday, very well attended by the community, even in the rain. You know, they sat in the rain and the wind. The mariachis were marvelous. The children were beautiful, and people had fun. And this is going to be our foundation to move on, because we know now that we can do this, and we will. The second meeting I attended was the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting on Friday. And at that meeting, it was agreed during the evaluation process of Chief Arenas that we would not extend his contract. And therefore, Chief Huber is back as the interim chief, and we will be looking for a new chief in the future. That's it for me.
I wanted to say I also attended the Cinco de Mayo celebration. It was fantastic. It really was. I probably took 140 pictures. And I posted some on the Oceano Farmers Market webpage, which is on Facebook if anybody wants to see those. There's a really beautiful one of Director Hurdle smiling and radiating. But there's a lot of pictures on there of a lot of people that were helping.
I don't sing. I'm not a singer.
You're not a singer?
No, I'm not.
We could fix that. It was really a great celebration. I'd like to thank everybody. And it really was, I think it kind of empowered the Farmers Market Committee, because it was a glove save. This whole thing was put together in a couple of weeks. It was supposed to have been taken care of by a collaboration of forces, that it didn't happen until I think around April 17th or so, when they, or no, it was April 8th.
Not practice the habit of biting the hand that feeds me. And all of this on behalf of the membership and my representation was done in good faith. Thank you.
You're welcome. I also attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting, which was May 1st. That was probably, there's been a couple of very important meetings right in a row, and this was, I don't want to say if it's more important than the last one or less important, but it's again a further picture of the paradigm shift that is happening at the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation Plant, the sand plant, the sewer plant, call it what you want. And what was presented, what was called a pro forma. Shannon, I just forgot her last name. Sweeney, thank you. Shannon Sweeney presented for about 40 minutes or so a presentation on the budget, which projected out the needs of the sanitation plan. And what they've done is they've gone through item by item, piece of equipment by piece of equipment, and they've dated it. They've figured out the useful life of these pieces of equipment and the cost to replace them. And then what they've done is they've used that to anticipate what the future budget needs are, and so that we're able to know. And if you look, it looks like right now we've got $3 million. Looks like we have $3 million in the bank. In a couple of years, we're $10 million short. And it's because now we can actually see what the needs are. And so it helps us to plan out for what the revenue is. This was the exact discussion that we hadn't, like the jello wasn't hard yet, but the exact discussion that Jocelyn and Aaron Hughes from the yard and I were having about how to address the infrastructure here, which has been neglected. And I'll take responsibility where I fall for the last 2.5 years and not getting pipes dug out of the ground. But Aaron has started to work with Jocelyn, and they're putting together our own pro forma of sorts, where we've figured out where we are, not, we have not figured out yet, but where we are figuring out the needs of our equipment, the age of our equipment, the cost to replace our equipment. And this includes sewer pipes. This includes water pipes. This includes wellheads. This includes everything that goes along with service and delivery of water and removal of wastewater to the sanitation plant. We're recognizing that we're going to need millions of dollars too, that this is what's going to be needed in this particular district. And Aaron, I think all of us have come to this. We're adopting the vernacular of the sanitation plant. And Shannon Sweeney was using this phrase that I've adopted, and I'm making it my own, and is, what's our core mission? And our core mission is to provide water and sewer services. We have these basic functions, parks and rec, street lighting, trash, fire department services, but our core mission that handles out of this building is the water and sewer. And so we're going to talk about this later when we get to the committee assignments. You're going to see the creation of a water and sewer committee, because we realize, Director Lucy realized, this was sorely missing, and this is something that's incredibly important. And so with that, I've asked Jocelyn and Aaron to come up with a budget that's not one page, but a budget that actually breaks things, that it's fund accounting, and that breaks things out so that we can understand, yeah, we may have a lot of money in sewer, but we got nothing in water. And we may have a lot of money here, we got nothing there. And so we're all learning. you know. Mary's the senior member here. I think, what do you got, 4 years? 5, okay. Mary's the senior member at 5 years, and that's not a lot of institutional knowledge. And so we're all learning, we're building, and I think that for me, watching the Sweeneys and watching Paul Karp and talking to them and working with them every day, it's been an incredible education and study of best practices. And I look forward to bringing that here. And I wanted to thank Jocelyn and Aaron for going to that presentation by the Sanitation District, which I did ask Matt Haber to post online. He said it's 106 megabytes, so he had to break it up into two sessions. But the packet is online, and the audio should be online for everybody to be able to hear, because the paradigm shift and the change in ideas and approach, it's I think Mayor Peterson was almost in tears, you know, just listening to it. And I didn't know sewer could be that exciting. I really don't think it is. It's the money. There's money in it, and there's a lot of money that it needs, and a lot of issues to be addressed. So with that, I'll stop talking, and Vice President Lucy.
Gosh, where do I start? I, too, attended the Cinco de Mayo, and it was really great, the timing of it. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and it was just at that perfect time where some good food and some good music was just the right time. So thank you for putting that on, and I can only see it growing for you. For the report, I was able to get it in. I've changed systems, so my calendar is kind of wacky. And, you know, to be honest with you, ever since I retired, I didn't think I needed a calendar, and it's just not working. I need a calendar. So year two, chasing meetings. So, but anyway, one of the major issues that I tried to point out, everybody had on the Water Resource Advisory Committee had done a very good job in implementing their points for their geographic areas. Many of it was overlapping. It's a relatively large document, and so they broke into regions. We had a meeting down here. The county, the Department of Public Works, I think, I really have to extend an applause to them for reaching out and including consumers, households, and stakeholders. We assume that everybody who's drawing off the groundwater has a meter there, and we all know how much, you know, each farm or house is using, but that's simply not true. Not all the straws are metered. And so there is room for improvement. It's the integrated conservation plan as well. But yet it hasn't gotten to a point where we have a lot of theories on how to conserve water, but there's really minimal activities happening to conserve water. And this county is not isolated in that thought. In fact, probably Monterey is probably one of the more progressives, and I would say Orange County as well is probably pretty progressive when it comes to conserving water. The state, in order for us to draw water off, the state has mandated that you have to have a diversified water. So if the state water dries up, then you have your groundwater to back you up, or there's supplemental water a lot of times is available. And Oceano, I'm proud to say, is probably the most diversified in how many different sources of water that this little town brings in. And so that makes us, one, you know, good stewards of the water, but two, it makes us a target for areas around us who do not have water. And so there becomes this passive aggressive move and suspicion. And by having a master water plan, we can keep pulling them back to the map, pulling them back to the map. You know, so yes, we do have groundwater that is not in use right now. And so one of our issues has been banking the water. We may not need it today, but we think we should have the right to bank that water. So we're running about 900 acre feet per year of groundwater. And so that's why it's so important that we stay on top of these, you know, institutional maps. Now, my issue is we all have great ideas on conservation, right? But we're still pumping out 2.3 million gallons of water that is usable into the ocean from the sand district. But meanwhile, our neighbors are running at about 99% draw on their groundwater, which I'm empathetic in a way, you know, I guess, but you have to diversify, and in order to diversify, it costs money. And the people of Oceano sucked it up, and they paid for that bond measure, and they paid for that Lopez water, and they paid for that surplus water, and we maintain our groundwater. So yeah, it hurts us, but we pay for it, but we shouldn't be penalized for having it. And so some of the things that I put in as comments for the South County was actually implementation of conservation projects. We can talk, you know, blue pipe till the cows come home,
purple
but
pipe.
Purple pipe or green pipe or blue pipe or, you know, unless it's in the ground, unless it's moving, it ain't doing anybody any good, and it doesn't matter what color it is. So, you know, to push things like that, you know, to have your parks and your golf courses by using, you know, secondary water. I mean, really, does the golf balls really matter what kind of water their green is on? You know, so there is a place for all this water. So I've been working on the master water plan with Director Angelo. We've been attending the RAC meetings and the regional planning meetings. The final, so I'm just going to go through a couple points for Aaron to be involved with his peers in the other metropolitan areas around us. So I think that was actually a really good move. Been spending a lot of time on administrative support. I also wanted to point out to people, too, is that something's happening down on the beach is that there is an abundance of trash. And so every day when I've been going down, I've been trying to pick up a bag of trash. And mainly it's caution tape. You know, so if you're down on the beach walking or taking your animals, take an extra bag and just pick up some of the trash. I don't know if it's coming in from the problems over in Southeast Asia or not, you know, but I've never seen it so dirty. I really have never, ever seen it that bad. And that's 3 days in a row.
You jogged my memory about one thing. Talking with Aaron Hughes, who's our yard guy on the operations side, he is very concerned about the condition of the wells and the pipes and these sorts of things. And so we're going to give Aaron priority. That's the plan here. But he one of the things he told me, and I'm going to follow up with him, is he thinks we gave away unmetered because we're placing a lot of our meters in the system. They're reading low. And I guess there's a 100-acre-foot discrepancy. Is that right? In what we're buying and what we're billing for? Does that sound about right, Jocelyn?
Which is like the exact number, but that is the issue that you was talking
33 million gallons that's going out?
Yeah, but what source? Is it groundwater when it's being pumped? Because I know that pump leaks, right?
Well, this is what I got to find out.
Is it off the Briscoe turnoff? Because right. There's a difference in...
It was a comment that he made, and so this is... I'm going to follow up on it, and I'll report back, too, because that's a lot of money in water. It's going out.
Well, yeah, you know, because, yeah, there's a leak somewhere.
There's a leak or meters aren't reading or all of the above. So
right.
I'll see what I can find out and report back on that.
Throughout the whole area?
Throughout our whole system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it was one specified area in particular.
Yeah, I guess, and I'll follow up with Aaron and talk to him about that. Moving on to item number 9, public comment. And I do have a request from Jennifer Blackburn. We got an item 10B, the public records request resolution. Good evening, Ms. Blackburn.
Good evening. Jennifer Blackburn, Oceano.
Hi, Jennifer.
I did just want to comment on the Public Records Act, or the resolution that you guys are looking at. I did want to take issue with the costs of things. I felt like the 25 cents, although I have seen it at other places, I did feel like it was relatively high compared to, say, Office Depot or something like that, where you can get copies for 10 cents. But But especially for the CD and DVD copy, I feel like $5 is outrageous and would be making you guys quite a bit of money. $2, I think, is still reasonable. And even with the special case, I think that that's... because you can buy them for 10 cents, 15 cents when you buy them in bulk. The resolution mentions that you guys appreciate the right of privacy of constituents wanting information. I feel like the forum should offer that privacy option. It does make it look like you have to put your information on there in order to get the information that you want. So I just think that that would be a good idea. But my main concern is the cost for the email copies. I do not believe that there should be any cost associated with the email request. It says, say, I was looking at a pamphlet regarding the Public Records Act, and it does say for things that are, for records that are normally only issued periodically or for that require compilation or extraction or programming, that then copying costs can be taken back. But I think that for documents that are normally available during regular hours, you're not going to charge somebody to look at them then to send them to somebody on email. I don't believe there is any cost required for that. But those are just my opinions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Blackburn. Is there any other public comment this evening? Ms. Tacker, good evening again.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and objecting to the format of the meeting, I'd like to speak to the Public Records Act and other items as you discuss them. I'd like to hear your thoughts on them. I'd like to hear a presentation from your staff and then know really the what's behind it, because when there's a staff report, it's not always thorough. And so here I am. I have begun the practice of writing letters ahead of your meeting, but I really am throwing darts at what the discussion might be. And that's where I feel the public is at a disadvantage with the format of your meeting, taking public comment before your business items. I would like to comment briefly on the director's report. Number one, I believe there's a conflict. Number two, you could get a general manager that has a PE that can serve that purpose. And why would you enter into legal bills drafting a contract when your new general manager may have all-inclusive? So don't go down that road yet. It's only weeks away before you hire that new person. You've been operating without legal or district engineer since October. You can go a little bit longer without that position, because you can hire these guys on contract, and I assume you've hired engineering services since October on contract. The Five Cities Fire Authority discussion, I didn't hear your board talking about it. I didn't see your board going into closed session giving FELMA direction on that personnel matter. And I someday maybe we'll find out what happened there, but I think your board should have had input.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. I see Mr. Edwards coming forward. Good evening.
Thank you again, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And I would, too, encourage you to reformat your agenda. It's consistent with the suggestions and recommendations in your closed session, item 12A, with regard to the letter from Terry Frank, Californians Aware. And he makes a number of points about your agenda. And I think if you take some of his advice, you'll be in good stead. The primary thing I'd like to talk about is really agenda item 10B. And this is an item that where you're amending your contract with Water Systems Consulting, Inc. with regard to Northern Cities Management Area. And I think it's time to hit the pause button on water-related issues. I'd ask your board, I challenge your board to tell me or the public what the difference is between GEI and WSC and their respective duties. I'm just not sure I can tell you. I think that it's important for Oceano to ask the question, how do any of these efforts help your situation? And another important question I think needs to be asked, who else are any of these consultants working for? Because I think you'll find in both cases, GEI and WSC, they're working for everybody else in the county too. So I'm not sure how they can really work for you and be independent advisors to you with regard to your water resources. There's reference to a deep percolation analysis to be prepared by WSC. Well, I'm not sure I know what that is exactly. I've read their scope of work, but you know, I think there's a lot of moving parts here, and I would encourage your board to have an agenda item. Apparently, you now have your utility committee is now water and sewer, and maybe we can get some more focus there. But please agendize an item where the public and you and staff can really discuss the differences, who's doing what and why, and ultimately how does it help Oceano, because I think that is the real test. My view is that there's a lot of people doing a lot of work, pushing a lot of paper, and not much of it is really going to help Oceano. And it should. And you're spending a lot of money on your warrants tonight. You're paying GEI some more money. And virtually on every meeting, there's a WSC, GEI, or Henry Weinstock from the Nussman Law Firm. So hit the pause button, please, and let's agendize. Let's try to get a handle on the big picture. Thanks.
Mr. Edwards, I have a question for you, actually.
Yes.
And it's something you touched upon it tonight, and I asked for clarification. You've mentioned before that you think the NCMA is working against the interest or to take away Oceano's water rights. Am I phrase that correctly?
Well, the way I've characterized it in the past is they're working towards managing away your groundwater.
Right. Why do you say that?
I'll give you an example. And this, what we're looking to, this is the integrated water resource management for the South County. And this is a document prepared by GEI for the county. And a couple South County goals that were referenced. Avoid seawater intrusion. Identify risk measures and management thresholds and develop coordinated response. Also, install additional dedicated monitoring wells, including particularly between the boundary between Northern Cities Management and Napomo Mesa, which you know you've already paid for one and haven't been reimbursed. But perhaps the most...
It's a complicated issue, and Mary Lucy has talked to me about it, and I'm not sure I understand it. I'm not sure any of us understand it.
It is quite complicated, and that's why perhaps there's a workshop, maybe even, that the...
Actually, you know what? I'm a little reluctant to speak about this because it is an action item on here, but I have done extensive research in this area. I know exactly what it is. I know exactly the lack of scope of work and where the duplication lies. And I think it's if anybody who understands how the water is managed in this area, the Northern Cities Management, it's abundantly clear, to me it is, but then when you start mentioning WSC and GEI, and if you look at that study you were talking about, right, the PERC study will be conducted by GEI. It's not conducted by Northern Cities Management, but it's conducted for Northern Cities Management by GEI, facilitated by WCS.
Mm-hmm. WSC.
WSC. Mm-hmm. So I have really looked at these documents very, very closely, and it is on the agenda. That's why I'm kind of reluctant to engage on this conversation.
I'll have you talk about that some more, Dana.
Gee, thanks.
And I would just close by saying
let me tell you what the problem is, Jeff, for me, right, is that, you know, not... I mean, I've been working in government a long time, but I've also been a street activist for a long time, you know, and... You know, when you call woof so much, right, when you have a valid point, you've muddied the water. So anytime somebody comes to the same conclusion as, say, you, right, they automatically want to go in the wrong direction, damn it. And I'm sorry, but, you know, it's not that I always agree with you. It's a matter of interpretation, and if it's black or if it's red, you know, you might say it's black, well, everybody else is going to say it's red. No, damn it, it's black. You know, so if we could figure out how to communicate better with each other, you know, people are reluctant to say, yes, that's right, because it's the water has already gotten murky there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Maybe that's a good reason to have a workshop on water, specifically, nothing but water. And perhaps have WSC come in and explain what they're doing and contrast their efforts to GEI.
Right.
Really, it's just Oceano's spending a lot of money, and I'm not sure you're really getting anything for it. And maybe you are. I think it's sufficiently complex that it's very difficult. The item you have tonight is simply a contract amendment. I think that could be delayed for a couple meetings and perhaps until this is sorted out.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there another public comment this evening? Ms. Ray? Good evening, Ms. Ray.
Hi, Elizabeth Ray. I applaud all of you. I applaud the audience and I applaud the staff. I think, Lucy, you're really on to a lot there with communication. I think that's a huge thing within this whole group. I think everybody's effort is in a good direction. It's personality and actual factual is what the bottom line on sounds like to me on this. I don't know enough about it. One thing I do know about is bureaucracy. I advocate for veterans every day, all day long, against the Veterans Administration. So taking on a larger scope of this whole facility probably is very frustrating, but all of us are adults, and we should contribute our knowledge to each other and build on it no matter what it is. So all of our personalities do not matter at that point. What it matters is the better gold of where we live. And there's 7,000 people in this little small town, and we're contributing a large amount in water and sewer bills. And so there should be some balance within it, and hopefully we'll not pass that down to our children as a larger debt, but a smaller one with better quality water with all the resources we have at our fingertips. But besides all that, the reason why I got up this evening is to announce positive things in our community. We are having an air show this weekend at the airport, and I encourage all of the community to come to it. I think one of our biggest resources around here that we don't tap into is our airport and also our train. By anybody have questions on that?
Thank you, Ms. Rand.
And the time is it starts on Saturday from 8 to 3, and I think they're also having it on Friday as well, Friday afternoon.
Saturday, 8 to 3, and Friday afternoon. And just, I don't know if everybody knows, but the state legislation has been passed to for veterans treatment courts. And
yes.
There's a show and tell by invite, I think, only in Santa Maria on Friday.
Yeah, it's June 14th for San Luis Obispo County kickoff. That is a whole new... Well, it's not new to the rest of the state, but it's new to our county. I'm sorry if I'm going over. But anyhow, it's an ideal situation for any of our arrested veterans that have PTSD circumstances.
Thank you, Ms. Ray.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Is there any other public comment? I see April moving around.
Can I move that we take a two-minute break?
If there's no other public comment, we're going to take a break for 5 minutes.
Thank
you. It's 7:45. Come back at 10 minutes till. All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. Oceanic Community Service District, it's 8:55 p.m. We've just returned from break. We were just finishing up public comment. Good evening, Kathy. there's no other public comment, we'll move on to the business items. Items 10A, update on the fire department roll-up door repair. And I think it was repaired. it looks like it was repaired. Jocelyn, why don't you update us on what happened here? Because we also had some issues with the electronic eyes on the doors and such.
Yes. Okay, so in the last meeting, you guys wanted to table this to get more information, so that's why it was brought back. Yes, it has been already fixed, but I wanted to put in here the part of the JPA agreement that talks about us maintaining the building so that everybody, we're all on the same page.
Right.
And so the cost of the motor is $1,636, which will be paid from the facilities fund, which is our Fund 10. And we're currently looking at the cost of putting in the electric I-beams that go on the doors. The reason this accident occurred was because there was no sensor showing that there was something blocking the door. So when the door came down, it just kept coming. And so we're looking to see how much it would cost to put those little eyes in. I mean, from a liability standpoint, I can't imagine not having something like that, because if a person was standing underneath there and the door just wants to keep coming down, I can't imagine, I mean, the consequences for that. So we're pursuing that avenue at this moment.
And I think we had some bids on that, didn't we?
The same company was going to give us the some quotes for that, but they have not got that to us yet.
Okay. And the other thing, too, is when this happened back in February, it's not the first time it happened. I was advised by an old-timer that this had happened before, and it didn't get fixed. So I think the board, we agree that we're committed to getting the proper safety equipment installed on the doors.
Yes.
Lori? Have staff bring us back bids for getting
the... Yeah, that would be good.
And I think this contract does show that it's our responsibility to go ahead and get those done. It just makes good sense. I think we're on notice now that we have a safety issue, if we weren't on notice before. So.
Matt, I have a question.
Sure, go ahead, Lori.
Was anyone else, any other companies contacted for cost on the doors themselves?
This was paid for by the fire department, so I don't know.
Okay.
This could be the final invoice. Ricky's shaking his head like he doesn't know either. Chief Heath, I should say. Okay, you think that Mr. Gieslin handled getting the bid before he left? Okay. So I don't know whether or not there were three bids or not, but I know this is being paid for by the fire department. Obviously, protocol would be to have three bids on this, and this may be the least expensive. We just don't know.
My understanding is that OCSD is responsible for the sensors, like Joshua said, and one other thing too, you know,
the motor, right?
But not the actual doors themselves.
That's correct.
Well, I think in the future we might be responsible if they rusted out, but this one was damaged, so that's why it was replaced. If they rusted out because of wear, then we might be responsible for it.
Okay, so can you go back for me and tell me what fund is this Fund 10 you said that was coming out of?
That's correct.
And
fund 10.
Is that the fire fund?
No, that's the facilities fund. We receive rental income for that property that's owned by Water and Sewer, so the rental income goes into Fund 10, and all the quote-unquote landlord expenses, such as repairing the door, will also go to the same fund that the income is recorded in.
Okay, so the money that's generated off, say, fire buildings, then goes into maintaining.
Right.
Such as, now what about, like, say, electrical bills for that building?
That also goes to Fund 10.
Fund 10, too.
That's correct.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. So this was just an...
I think five stays in the Fund 1.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joshua. Right. I really appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome.
Do you understand the direction? Yeah. Good bids?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Moving on to item 10B, discussion, review, and sign Water Systems Consulting, Inc. contract amendment to provide support services for the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group for fiscal year 2013-2014. I think Mary's got the most information on this. Why don't I turn this discussion over to Mary?
I think Director Angelo has some things. Do you have anything that you'd like to put in on this? I'm reluctant.
I am, too. I would like to, you know, see if we could find another company or something that we can work with.
Well, I'm not sure we need the service
about. That's why I'd kind of like to get an outside opinion as to do we really need both.
Because it's for support services. So it's like a product.
project director. It's like staff.
Exactly.
And I'm not quite sure that this area is supposed to be strictly for monitoring. That's why this entity, and that's where the attorney, what's his name? Henry Weinstock.
Weinstock, yeah.
He oversees the court orders or the court direction on the groundwater. And then GEI does a sampling of the wells. And so I'm not fully sure what WSC is doing besides building their infrastructure, contract, coordinate, and administration, coordinate and assist with selecting another consultant, data requests for Northern Cities Management Agencies. It looks like it's infrastructure in staffing. Participate on a steering committee. I saw a lot of it is also overlapping with what the board does, attending the RAC meetings, which I and you attend,
right.
Attending the Zone 3, which you're the sitting member and I'm the alternate on. And so it appears to be staff extension services. The deep percolation analysis is, that's just, I don't know what that is. You know, so, and then the rest of it is kind of split across all the cities. Mm-hmm. Oceana's portion is 23,000, Grover 36, AG 34, Pismo 18,000, all those. But I don't see any signatures from any of those cities so far signing on. Mr. Chisholm is no longer with Pismo Beach, so that tells me that the document is actually maybe aged. Deep percolation analysis. My dad used to go out and perk the ground. He'd take a foot in his stick and he'd hit that ground, and if it was mushy, he'd move to another spot. And that was his analysis.
When I...
To provide support services, really, for this internal group of... I would really advise the board on maybe setting this to the side. Maybe there's more to what they do than beyond their proposal. But basically, GEI does a PERC study, and that's done all the time. Data manipulation. Ooh, those are dangerous words. Mm. But, you know, data is like people. If you torture them enough, they'll tell you whatever you want. I learned that in my statistical class.
I would like to wait on this, too. I'd like to get a little more...
Should we ask them to come present on why we should spend more money or keep...
Yeah,
I think so. I think that it's very important right now when there's so many questions about...
What they do.
What
are we paying
And
for?
About their structure. And I would like to see them come before us and explain it to us so we can understand whether we really need them or not.
I couldn't say it better.
And I'd like to do that. It's up to them. It's their contract.
Right.
The sooner they get here, the better.
What happens if we don't?
Nothing.
Right, exactly. Nothing. That's another thing, too. We are, I guess, partnered with the other cities, but if they want to spend their money that way and they're getting, the bang for their buck, cool. But we need to understand what we're going to get from, what we're really getting for this.
And I do think it's subliminally... a hunt for water.
All right, so why don't we...
That's what it is.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. So I think Jocelyn will have you let them know we did not approve the contract, but if they want to come talk to us, we'll revisit it.
So will that go on the next agenda if they do want to come as a presentation?
If they want to.
If they want to, yeah. Okay.
And I'm actually going to attend the next meeting. of the Northern Cities Management. Yeah. So anybody else would like to attend?
I do. I want to go.
You guys go right ahead.
Okay. We're on it.
I want to make sure we're paying for what we're getting or getting what we're paying for.
Yeah, at least know what we're paying for.
Exactly.
Right. And then see whether or not you're getting it. Item 10C, update and review of LAFCO fiscal year 2013-2014 budget and how it will impact the district budget. This information was contained in this packet and the last packet, and it was brought back this time. We had a busy meeting last time.
Right.
To approve or reject it. And I think Jocelyn did the staff report. So is there anything you wanted to add to this particular staff report, Jocelyn, or just contain H?
Other than the last one, you guys could have put input on it, but now it's already been passed.
Right.
Okay.
LAFCO is, we have to be a member of LAFCO to be
yes.
a special
right.
service district. It's a mandate.
I don't think we take a vote on this. I think it's basically just for information.
I think they have a 218 going.
We're going to pay $8,600 more. So.
The question last time is that we don't have a determined number because
right.
it's dependent upon our revenues that were reported to the state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make our budget, which is going to depend upon what we say our last.
Right, and last year we didn't get the number until July.
So it's throwing darts.
So I'll put in a placeholder, but we can always update it when we get the invoice.
All right, thank you for that.
And David Church over at LAFCO, he can give you a guesstimate.
Right. Then we have item 10D, discussion regarding a public records request procedure and potential approval of resolution 2013-6, a resolution of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors adopting a public records request policy and procedure and a request for public records form. This is the one that I actually wanted to table, but you guys wanted to have the discussion. So let's have some discussion and see where we get tonight.
Does legal counsel have anything that they'd like to provide on this?
Your microphone's off, Jay. Yeah, there's a button right by your hand.
Right up here.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
Oh, that's right.
They're going to come over and yell at you to put that in front of your face. They'll tell you
okay.
to talk in the donut.
For those of you who don't know Mr. Hyde, he's normally high energy, but...
They left the Y off his last name.
Okay. This is the one I've been contacted by numerous people, one of whom was, Grover Beach on Monday had a public records issue on their agenda that passed. I think they put in 15 cents per page. But Mayor Peterson called me today, and she said, watch out, you've got this on your agenda. I'm at a public records request conference. We're learning all about public records requests, and ours has problems based upon what she learned, and she says, and yours has lots of problems. So I'd encourage you not to pass it. And I said, well, what are our problems? And the phone was breaking up, so I didn't get the catch. But
it's Mr. Hyatt. Please confer with us. Please inform us.
And this is.
Have you had a chance to read our resolution? Or?
Yes, I've read it. What are your questions?
Do you think that...
is it defensible?
I mean, we really want to be transparent. I mean, we really don't have anything to hide. But how do you do that
without being
fairly, without appearing to be gouging, but still be able to sustain your operations, you know?
There's a very delicate balance between being transparent and being abused.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that most, whether it's a district or a city, the public's records request are abusing those. It's very abusive. It's extremely time consuming. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. We got a comment earlier about there shouldn't be any charge because it's email. Well, there's staff time to input their email address. There's staff time to gather the stuff. There's staff time to search the files to put it together. It's not a matter of pushing a button and having it go. And the entities that I have represented, this is the bane involved. So do we need to have a specific resolution? No. Would it be helpful to our constituents so we're all on the same page when they want to make a request? Yes. The cost factor, again, you can go to Kinko's. The comment was made, you can go to Kinko's and get it done for 10 cents. Well, that's when you take your stack to Kinko's and say, please put it on the machine. When someone comes to us and says, I'd like this record and this record and this record and those records and these other records, it's not a matter of them handing you the records and us putting it on our machine. It's an inordinate amount of time to locate, to coordinate. There's reference in the policy to protecting people's privacy. So sometimes it means not only locating and coordinating, but redacting. And that's the fancy word for making a black mark over somebody's name or somebody's address so that their privacy rights are protected. So 25 cents per page, we're not talking about putting it on the machine and pushing the button. We're talking about collating, locating, coordinating, getting it all done, getting it all available. And we've got a limited amount of time to do that. So when, you know, Jocelyn is faced with 20 public records requests because they can, and she's up to a time limit of how can I get all this done in time, it's nice to have a policy that says here's our time frame, here's our costs, here's our goal. Do we need one legally? No. Is it something nice we can do for our constituents? Yes. Are there a zillion different ways you can write this type of policy? Absolutely. So if there's a specific issue, happy to address it. Let your public, let the constituents look at it and bring you some specific comments like we've heard tonight and see if you want to make modifications. This is a proposal. Mm-hmm. Nothing's written in stone.
Right.
So leave it out there for a month or 2 months and let people come in with their concerns. We can certainly address that.
That's good. Well, you know, when I saw the 25 cents, I could see where that would be a little bit much if you had the document right in front of you. It was a matter of pushing the print button, right? But when you have to go back and dig through the archives and spend an hour on searching for these three pages of a document of a contract that was created in 84, you know, it's not excessive. Also, too, is that this equipment, you know, electronically, it does cost because somebody had to scan it into that computer in order for it to be electronically transferred. Not all documents are in electronic form yet. I mean, there are people who are frantically scanning and stuff like that, but as far as the equipment goes, I want us to be very clear that we have a lease agreement for our copier, then we have a maintenance agreement, and then we have an overture charge. And you have those three things on one machine, and that's not including the electrical bill, nor the internal email and fax software that is in addition to those costs. So I would be up to leaving it open and have people bring comments and how to fine-tune it and make it tighter. But I'd also like something in hand. Also, too, is that I don't think that 20 requests on one piece of paper is reasonable. I think that if you want staff and you want that organization to spend a lot of time on something, or are you out to waste their time, you know, asking for 20 different requests on one application request form, I think that they should be separate for each individual request. And that kind of brings people to narrow down what they really want.
Can I make
That's a sweet thought. You're going to get 20 separate requests.
That then if they spend the time sitting there filling out 20 requests separately, so be it.
From an operational standpoint, them filling out separate requests for each item, it makes it easier because when it's done, we can sign it, we can put what that particular item, how many pages it was, and so then we can see it's done. Rather than having 20 on there, then you're sitting there making a check mark for each one, and it's going to get convoluted. And, you know, if you've done 19 out of the 20 and you didn't do that last 20, I mean, when do I turn it in now? Do I give it back to them? I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? So if they're all on their each individual one, once it's done, we can give it back to the person that requested it.
Okay. That's one thickly, you know, sending it in. Is there, how should they be received?
The goal is so that we have a piece of paper uniform in its design, so that whether it's in person or electronically, they're filling out the same information. And that everybody, Jocelyn, can look at this and go, okay, this is the item being selected, this is the person that's requesting, so that when the task is complete, everybody's able to say, this is what was requested, this is what has been provided.
So it should, they, so we should allow people to electronically send the request back?
Yeah, there's no problem with that at all. We just need to make sure that we're using the same form electronically that we are on paper. So that we're all getting the same service in the same direction.
So that answers that electronically.
Yeah. Now, what about the request being the argument that, well, electronically it doesn't cost you anything? Well, it does, you know, because that computer and that service just didn't grow. You know, so there is a cost attached to electronic. I know I pay for internet access. Are you allowed to be able to cover those internal costs?
I could check on the electronic. It's an interesting issue. I know that we are allowed to be compensated for the physical reproduction of material.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes when we scan documents, I have to scan them. I have to copy them first because the originals have things on there that are not for the public view. On sometimes, for example, a 1099, my 1099s have two on one page, so I can't, you know, send one. Plus, I have to copy it, and then I have to black out the copy that has the confidential information for the person whose 1099 it is. Then I scan it. So yeah, the actual scanned copy didn't cost me anything, but the copy that I had to make the alterations on it did.
Okay.
Anything else, Velma?
No, I haven't.
Well, when you get a ton of these things coming in over and over and over and over, it costs money.
Right, and we get them by phone, email.
I understand. Yeah. I understand the Nipomo has a flat charge. I think it's $3 or $5, and then
actually,
and then
it's $1.50 an hour, or $1.50 right off the bat, and then it's like per page. Yeah.
I don't know. For myself, I'm not ready to move on this issue tonight. I don't know if the rest of the board is, but okay. Why don't we bring it back in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Hopefully Chase will reign victorious in his trial that he's in San Francisco. And then, Chase and Mark, of course. But.
It's a 3-week estimate.
Oh, well, they're a week into it, so.
Okay, we're going to table this then. Is that your recommendation, to table it, leave it open, revisit it in 90 days?
I'd like to hear, because I do have, like, Mayor Peterson, who's at this seminar that she was telling me about. She's going to send me some information on it and what she thinks and give me more time to look at it. I think it's something that's important, I think that's something that needs to be addressed, because I think Mr. Hyatt put it exactly right. You can be abused by this, and it shouldn't be something that causes stress. It's just part of doing business.
Right.
So that's my recommendation, as we keep looking at it. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about it.
Me
and
too.
So we either bring it back in 2 weeks or a month. A month at this time, though, is where we're going to be talking about hiring the next GM. And so my recommendation, bring it back in 2 weeks, and then if we're not ready then, to kick it for a month.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Don't
so 2 weeks.
Forget, we got an annual budget to work on, so
yeah,
I'm actually more in favor of looking at July.
Okay, well, I don't want to lose it. The problem is if we wait till July, I'll have to relearn all this information because I'll have forgotten everything.
for the discussion. That's just my, it's a short-term memory. Second thing to go. Moving on to item 10E, discussion review of OCSD Board of Director Committee assignments and potential reassignment of directors for the same. Reassignments of directors to any of the Board Director Committees will be discussed, including but not limited to assignments to the Personnel Committee and Finance Committee. The way this came about is we've realized in the last couple of weeks that Ms. Lucy and Ms. Angela are being underutilized, and Ms. Hurdle and I are being crushed.
So, you feel like you're being beat to death?
It was a self-inflicted wound, but nobody saw this coming. And then also, Director Lucy very astutely noticed we didn't have a water and sewer committee, and with this discussion of core function, our core function is water and sewer, which is currently myself and Director Hurdle. I'm going to ask Ms. Lucy to go ahead and take that, and then I will ask Felma, do you want to stay on that committee, or would you like to pass the torch to...
I'd like to pass the torch, please.
Lori?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, so personnel will be Ms. Lucy and Ms. Angelo.
And finances...
Well, utility operations, we actually added, yeah. We had Angelo in white, but it says water and sewer, but...
It is, the name of the committee has always been the Water and Sewer Committee.
Right, we're recalling it, so...
I know that Tom had set up on utility operations.
Yeah.
With the boys, at the gentleman over at the water department.
And that... I'm sorry, Lori. Go ahead.
No, that, I was just saying that he'd set up once a month to talk to... our water team.
So this is a standing committee. This committee is a just it holds the same importance as finance and personnel, mm-hmm. and so it does have to be posted 72 hours. It's, you know, it is dictated by the Brown Act, and so I actually would like to set a standing time for this committee. Well, we can. Do you agree? Director Angelo.
Yeah, yeah.
Presidente.
Si.
Thelma? Yeah. So, since Lori and I actually kind of have more control of our daily time, I'd like to see if we could do it during hours of operation. That way the guys in the field can... Aaron doesn't have to get off work and then come to a meeting.
Yeah, because I know... I have notations for Mark.
Your microphone's off, Lori.
For the last Friday of the month at 11 o'clock is what Tom had set up for us for utilities.
Last Friday of the month at 10 o'clock?
The last Friday of the month at 11.
11, okay. Yeah, that's...
Last month we didn't do that because we had some other stuff going on. But like right now, this month would be the 31st at 11. So I don't know if that's a good time for the for Aaron at the water yard or not. I don't know what their schedules are like.
Well,
as far
if he knows a month ahead of time. Maybe.
Okay, good.
Okay, so let's
do that then.
So can we have that put on this calendar and that automatically occurs each month, last Friday of the month? Starting with this month, which will be the 31st.
Yeah, I think I'm
working the way through. Caroline, can I ask you to make sure that gets put on the agenda? I mean, put on, posted on the window and on the web page. Okay. Water and sewer is back.
It's back.
Yay.
What are we doing with finance?
Finance is the next big one. Right, currently it's myself and you.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming right into the season where finance will get busy.
Right. Yeah.
And do you want to stay on it? What's your pleasure?
No, I'm not really sure. I have been planning to take the month of July off. And I know that's when we'll be busy. So I don't know.
Well, your annual budget's adopted in June.
In June the 30th, yeah. June is the deadline. Why don't I stay on it until we get the budget complete, and then maybe make some changes?
Does anyone? Okay.
Are you staying on it?
I'm going to offer it up to the other two ladies that are here if they would like to.
What do you got to?
Well, if Director Hurdle, if Director Hurdle stays on it, we'll
leave that was such a setup.
No. That is not a setup.
You just got it.
No, I'm offering. I'm offering
great.
If anybody else wants to step up and take finance, that's fine, or I'll stay on it. We'll just leave it as is. That's why we're discussing committee assignments.
Let's leave it like it is.
Let's leave it like it is. Okay.
Gee, thanks, Velma, for saving us there. My shoulders are only so broad. I got three of them here, Matt.
Well, we've only, with Jocelyn and I, the way we've started talking about resetting thing up with, real fund accounting and stuff, I mean, the discussion's been going on, so the continuity, I'm fine thing. And you've been involved with that discussion. I think that's fine. Community enhancement. Previously, we had Director White and Director Hurdle
to build up her physical strength, and I assure her that she's not getting away that easy.
I think we need to leave her on it.
So, who's the chair on community enhancement? Is that Velma?
It was Velma.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll leave.
And Karen's your backup.
I'm going to leave Karen White as the director. Who wants to be the chair?
Velma. I'll take it a little longer.
All right, so Velma's going to stay.
Try to get your feet deep in that one.
Looks like Matt slid there. You could have codification.
No, I was thinking I would have Director Angelo be codification, but
no,
she's already got to.
Go on, El Presidente.
All right, I'll stay on codification. Who should I?
Stay on.
Wasn't I already on that? I was, yes. It was you and I.
Yeah, but you broke this back. I'm bailing on you.
You're bailing on? Okay. So that means it's either I'll take Director White.
So you're going to be chair?
Yeah, I'll be chair, and I'll let her. Or should I make her chair because she's not chair of any of these? Let's switch those.
Karen would actually be really, really good at it, but you, you know.
Yeah, let's give Karen the chair, and I'll be the director.
Okay.
Codification. Right?
Karen's such a wonderful writer.
And the rest of the stuff, should we leave the same? Those are the outside committees?
Except for airport land use. I don't know who's doing that.
I am.
You are, Velma?
Yes, yeah, she's been doing it.
Oh, okay. And I have been negligent on Zone 11A. There's nothing, no other way I can put it.
Wet noodles.
I just...
It's in the middle of the day.
Who's doing the special district?
Nobody.
Lori. Lori Atenzos. The local special district, Lori attends, and I think I'm the backup.
I need to find out when they're having them, though, because I need
to get they have it over at Wallace.
Yeah, I know, but it just says, it doesn't tell me what days.
We'll go cruise in.
I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Very, usually noon Friday every other month.
Noon which Friday?
Every other month. Usually noon Friday.
I know.
Varies.
Which Friday.
I'm just reading the paper.
Okay, that's my problem, is I never know when they're having what Friday.
Okay, so we need to get the calendar.
Okay, we need to get something from that thing.
See, it goes back to the nasty calendar.
Yes.
No. High-tech equipment they got going
Mr.
on.
Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my closing.
All right. So we're leaving
the outside committees.
The outside committees, are we leaving those the same then?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
There we go. It's balanced right now.
Velma, have you been attending Oceana Advisory?
Karen is the lead, and no, we haven't had a meeting. Actually, last month was canceled because this man, Barbara's not feeling well. And
I think she stepped down.
Okay.
Did she?
Actually, we did have one. Yes, we did have one, and Jennifer is our new member, and I do have it on my schedule for the standard time this month. So
third Monday, 6:30?
It is going to be the third Monday this month because of the holidays.
Right. But it's been changed to the fourth.
Okay.
So can you jump up until Karen gets
back? I've been going.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I just didn't know.
Okay. So being no other changes, is there a motion to approve as the committee assignments? We don't even need a motion, do we?
Yeah.
Do we? Well, okay. I'll make the motion to approve as discussed.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We're off to the races.
Okay. Marching orders.
Moving on to item 10F, discussion and review to either support or prepare a letter providing input on the Air Pollution Control District's 2013-2014 budget. If the staff report shows that basically there's no change in our fiscal impact. We spent $2,136 last year. It'll be the same this year because these are permit fees for some equipment that we have from Water Sewer Administration. Any comments or questions on it?
No, we can't do anything about it. I move that we send him a letter of support.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion to send the APCD a letter of support supporting their budget. We have a second from Director Angelo. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Carries 4-0. So, well, Jocelyn, if you could just send him a letter saying the board has supported this and good luck. Item 10G, discussion and review, diversified project services, international rate sheet, and direct district legal counsel to prepare a draft. If you recall, I've talked too much already.
So we don't have an engineer right now. So we are contracting individuals for isolated needs.
What had happened is since Wallace resigned back in October, when we had needed engineering services, the former general manager had contracted Wallace. So we went out for proposals so we could cut that relationship. And so we have terminated that relationship. He has not done any work. And this would basically put DPSI in the position that Wallace previously sat to be time and materials.
Okay, but currently
we're not using anybody. We're not doing anything.
Okay. Because I kind of feel, too, like we may get a general manager with the experience that we're looking for.
And then that general manager wouldn't need to hire them.
Would need to hire?
Would not need to
hire. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But just keeping in mind, if we don't get that extra certification with that position, we do have to have one by law on contract.
Sure.
What I don't like is I don't like these. When you give somebody a good contract like this, to go down to photocopying and giving a retail rate of $1.50 for a color copy, to me the gouging, it sends a really strong message. You know, if you're gonna charge me $500 an hour, and then you're gonna charge me $1.50 for a copy, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth. Well,
the electromagnetic acoustic EMAT testing, yeah.
Color copies.
Engineers.
$1.50.
Engineers are 110 to, excuse me, 95 to
150. No, that's a dude digs a hole.
No, that's engineer.
But still, do you get my point?
I do.
It's
a cost.
It's be reasonable.
Have you looked at the fees for expert witness preparation, testimony?
We can't hear you, Lori. We can't hear a word.
I'm sorry. I said I'm looking at the fees for expert witness preparation, testimony, court appearances, and depositions, the rate they're billing. I don't know if that's normal or what, but
pretty close.
Is it? Okay.
You could ask Mr. Hyatt, who pays lots of experts.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Is that a reasonable amount?
Area's case cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is, I think it's pretty standard. It didn't jump out at me as offensive at all.
President Guerrero, can I make a comment?
Sure.
The reason why this was brought up now, and I know that we don't have a general manager right now, so we're trying not to bring so many big decisions to us right now, but when we get to utility items C2, I kind of wanted, when we discuss that item, I wanted to talk about discussing that situation with the engineer, not just with vendors.
This is exactly right. Did you guys read the report where he says, I don't mean to alarm you, but your generator's not going to work if you try to use it. It's failed.
I just didn't want to take the vendor's word for what we need. Kind of wanted to have someone else's input, but that's just my opinion.
Well, particularly since we're expected to sustain four other institutions on that generator, that's very disturbing.
If we hire somebody who has an engineering background or is an engineer, we just stop using PSI.
Can we put that in the contract? I mean,
well, it's time and material. We just wouldn't be assigning them any work for things that were.
Speak into the mic, please.
It's time and material. They would not be assigned work for things that were able to be done in house. I mean, that's the way I read it. I don't know.
I just don't understand why we're back on this one.
What do you mean?
I thought we already approved the contract and we were moving forward.
Yeah, I thought we'd already had. I thought it was part of the.
It was brought to my attention that it wasn't completed, and so they can't perform any work until we get something finished.
Are they the ones that brought it up?
No, Aaron's been bringing it up for the last month.
Okay. Because.
Okay, then I move that we accept the DPS.
Aye.
It has to be seconded, Matt.
DPSI.
DPSI Project Services in order to secure the engineer contract for OCSD.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye. So there's
three different
there's a number item.
Staff
actually,
reports. In
we'll go to 11C1. Well 8 is offline, and the following items need to be purchased. A 6-inch gate valve and a 6-inch clay valve to be in compliance with the required purveyor's permit. There was a staff report attached. The least expensive was $5,590. It's $5,200.
No, I'm sorry. I see a mistake in here. I'm sorry. I just saw it.
Go ahead.
Originally, we were wanting to buy it from Ferguson because they can get it to us in 2 weeks from the order date. And then we found clay valve. The manufacturer is the most expensive, but there is a bid in here from
HD Supply Waterworks.
HD Supply from Bakersfield. And they can get it to us in 2 to 4 weeks, and it's cheaper. So, you know, me being the accountant said, we're going to go with the cheaper one. That's be done, and let's move on. But then I've been talking to Aaron about it, and he's really concerned that Well 8 has been down for a couple weeks now. And if the Lopez and State Water were to stop for whatever reason, whether it's just, you know, something that happens, we don't have the support with Well 5, 6, and 7. We would be able to carry on regular duties, but let's say if there was a fire, there's not enough water pressure to push the water out of the fire hydrants, which is those three wells. So he's thinking this is a huge priority, and he's recommending that we go to Ferguson to buy it, even though they're the middle vendor as far as price, because they can get it to us quicker than HD Waterworks.
It's a matter of compliance involved with
right.
this.
When I talked to Aaron, he said that it's not a requirement to have it, but it is best practices. And it's when he talked to the California Public Health, he was always under the impression that it was required for the permit. And when I asked him for support I wanted to see it in writing that it was a requirement, it came back that, well, it's not actually a requirement because we've been down for 2 weeks already, so we would have been in violation. But it's best practices because of the emergency situation that we could have.
But we also signed into an MOU with the Sheriff's Department and the JPA to sustain their building on that well. So they could come back if we didn't honor our memorandum of understanding,
right.
And that if we're to lose power, that their buildings would be sustained by that generator.
Right. And my question to Aaron in this situation was, if this is such a high priority, I'm wondering why we don't have one of these valves in inventory so that we don't have to go through this whole thing of having to buy from a vendor overpriced to get it quicker. Mm-hmm. To me, it seems like we should buy a cheaper one and have it on stock if this is something that's such a huge deal.
Okay, so where is the closest one?
The Ferguson.
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 And where was their turnaround time? I didn't catch.
Ferguson can get it within 2 weeks from the order
where
date.
Where are they located?
Ferguson's out
it's
of
San Luis.
Santa Maria. San Luis?
San Luis?
San Luis on Broad Street, yeah.
So can we go over there and pick it up?
No, they have to have it made. Most clay valves, you can go pick it up, but this one is so big that it actually has to be constructed. And that's all of them say at least 2 weeks to make and delivered, all three of the quotes.
So it's 2 weeks from them, and it's 2 to 4 weeks from the Bakersfield group.
Right. As I said, for me, the accountant says, let's wait an extra 2 weeks, but we've already waited 2 weeks, and luckily nothing bad has happened so far.
Okay. Oh, yeah, and I think
can we contact the firm from Bakersfield and ask them if they can do it in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Just say, do you want the job, or you want to sell us the stuff? We have to have it no later than 2 weeks.
Yeah, or you can tell them, we need it in a week if they want it.
Okay.
I mean, it ain't nothing to drive over there and pick it up. Lori and I can
Carol
do
Ann
that.
Does it all the time. Yeah, so the difference in is $64.36 versus $55.90, so it's about $150.
No,
excuse me,
it's about $800.
$850. So $850.
Can we give Jocelyn authority to move forward on purchasing and negotiating who's going to give us the best, swiftest service?
I think what we could do is we could authorize the purchase in the amount of not to exceed $6,436.81 to whomever can get it to us first.
That's right.
Okay.
I think so. So that would mean you either go to Ferguson or HD Supply Waterworks Limited. Time is of the essence. Aaron's very concerned about it, which brings up another discussion. We have multiple valves in the system that are broken.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron says they're going to be about $1,000 a piece. By multiple, he means, I think 40. 40,
maybe he can,
50 valves. And so
can he get us a list of things he thinks are...
Yes, that's part of the inventory
when
we're doing the pro forma. That's part of the inventory because we need to start...
Okay. It really hasn't been done detailed before, and they're actually coming out on their own time and telling us the exact name for each part, some of those parts that we haven't used in years, and Aaron doesn't even know what it is or what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they're giving us a list of what we have and what the current price value is. So I think that's...
There's a value to buying local, and that's one of them. And that's why we can authorize to spend more money for a local vendor because of that, the support that you get that goes along with it. That's fine. Moving on. So the motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number 2. Consider and direct staff to request for proposals for backup generator that is required by our purveyor's permit. The attached to the staff report under 11C2 is a letter from from Preferred Power Solutions, Inc. It has some startling language. This is a letter dated 5/2/13. It's from Bill Cleveland. And I think one of the things that this does is it puts the district on notice that the equipment needs paired and replaced. This actually isn't a surprise to me. I had spoke with prior management last summer, and I was taken out by we were there with, I don't remember if he was a vendor, an engineer, if he was from Caterpillar. I think he was from Caterpillar. There was a gentleman who sells generators, and the discussion at the time was to try to find one that was coming back from Iraq that maybe had low hours. It never happened. It was advised to me at that time that there was a problem, but this letter, makes it's urgent and has to be in our next budget. And it starts out, it's not my intent to instill fear, but a sense of responsibility and urgency. He talks about the poor condition of the generator. This emergency diesel generator startup is severely doubtful. And another point, and he says, at best, this is all very confusing, very dangerous, and not likely to accomplish the intent of design. And so we've got to fix it. That's all there was to it.
And Bill Cleveland said that he is more than happy to come in here and answer any questions that you guys may have about anything that's...
Doug?
Bill Cleveland?
Bill Cleveland. He's the engineer.
He's the one that...
wrote the letter.
Oh. He wrote the letter describing it.
So what I... What did he suggest? Is he going to make us a proposal, build us a proposal? What is he...
Well, I asked him about that, but his first, he suggested that we tell him what type of generator that we want. I mean, he can come up, but he gave me the example of, you know, when you go to a car lot and you want to buy a car, someone can sell you a Lexus and it costs, you know, this dollar amount, or they can sell you a Honda. You both get a car. So I did tell him that we did get a bid. I didn't tell him what it was, but... He said, well, he wanted to know the scope of work of it so he can give a bid based on the same materials that person had done. And at that time, the bid that we had received didn't have anything. It just basically said, here's the price. And so since then, we've gone back to that first person and asked them to give us what it is that you're bidding on, give us a detail of it. And but that's something that I actually wanted to consult somebody in-house, more like an engineer here, rather than taking a vendor's perspective of what we need. I mean, it's like a car salesman. Do I take a car salesman's word for it, or do I take somebody who I know who knows cars?
Right.
And so that's why I was pushing to contract with a.
I think
with
what we should do is direct staff to contact the district engineer to ask him what the specifications are that we need for this particular piece of equipment. And then you can give those specifications. We can get three bids and work off those three bids.
Yeah, please, please keep in mind this is a backup generator. Yeah. It's not the primary source of power on a daily basis.
Correct.
This is strictly for emergency purposes. It's a backup.
Right.
But and it has a long history, that machine.
When we use it, it backs up the sheriff's department, the fire department, the OCSD, the water yard. This is, you know, it runs all of these things. And
right.
That's it.
But that generator's never been turned on.
Right.
Yeah, because it can't.
But
right, it's going to sit for years and years and years without ever being turned on. That's absolutely correct.
The first time they replaced the engine in that generator, they bought an engine that was not certifiable in the state of California. Okay, then the second time they bought a diesel engine for it and did it locally, and it only cost them half the money. And now the thing's broke again. I mean, because it's old piece of metal.
Scrap.
And I'm sure it'll be in whenever Preferred Power provides us the proposal, but he did tell me that all of their work is always guaranteed, so if there was anything that needed to come back and be fixed, he would also train the guys on how to keep it maintenance so that he wouldn't have to come out and do it.
Great.
All right. So staff direction, and you can bring that back when you have more information from us. It may not be 2 weeks. It may be a month or 6 weeks out, but thank you, Jocelyn. Moving on to item number 11C, 3, operations and maintenance continue. Approved utility truck purchase for water and sewer. So they spend about an hour in the yard if they do a sewer job, sanitizing the tools.
Mm-hmm.
The second thought is we need something from the manufacturer of the jetter telling us what type of truck, what the rating is on the vehicle to tow this machine. Do we need a 3/4 ton? Do we need a 1 ton? Do we need a Super Duty? And so we'll need to know what the tow capacity is for that particular item.
Very good.
And the manufacturer will be able to tell us that. Since we're about to send them a bunch of money, they should be very free with that information. Because if we buy something that doesn't work,
right.
When are we expecting the jetter?
In June or July, right?
Mid-July.
So. Well, there should be specifications in that would tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I really am not in favor of spending any more money unless it's justified in an annual budget to veer off track, off a budget, and operate blindly for the last year has been very hard and uncomfortable.
More than the last year. Yeah.
Well, particularly last year, because there was a lot of money spent, and very fortunately in wise, reasonable ways, but past experience tells me that if you sway off your annual budget, unless you balance your act, something's going to have to give. So if the water department wants to come and say, okay, well, we agree that we're going to cut back on the monster jetter, and we're going to decide that we don't want a new $4,000 fence, and so on and so on, and it doesn't impact the operations, I think they should try to prioritize it, but I'm not inclined to buy a truck right now until I see the budget.
Well, we already are approaching 20 grand. We don't have a truck in mind. The budget's going to come before the jetter does, so that's
so great. Though it should be in the budget.
I think it should
then
be in the budget.
And if we have the money for it, of course.
And if we know this, we put 20 grand out, and that may be insufficient, frankly.
And so once we get the specifications, we can start shopping, and we'll have an idea of what they cost. If we need 22
yes.
grand, if we need 42 grand, you know, to get a truck that actually will work, then that's what we need to know.
Okay. So in the meantime, we'll just, I guess, rent trucks until
yeah.
we can.
We'll rent trucks until as needed.
We have a 250. We got a 350 out there. Look, our utility trucks. No, you can't hit a hydraulic switch and dump the dirt out. But you can pull a full jetter. I'm sorry.
We don't have a dump.
I'm not talking about the jetter.
We don't have a dump
truck. I'm saying you can't do that at this point. You can't use our trucks as with the hydraulic because they don't have it. But you can pull a jetter. Even half full.
I think what Jocelyn is talking about, if we need a dump, right now we have no
the
dump.
Utility truck
I
that we
I understand that.
Right.
We're saying the same thing. That's what we're lacking is a dump truck. To tie it with pulling, we're in trouble because we can't pull our jetter is, I don't think, factual.
That's not what we're talking about. Now, she's saying in the meantime, until we get this, if we need a dump truck, we'll rent it. Is that what you were talking about?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
Great.
Right, because ours died.
Right. Yeah, we had to rent one last Friday.
When we get the correct identifications, specific items on the vehicle, let me know, because I get magazines every month with these big trucks, tractors, fifth wheel, you name it, I'm getting all this stuff in the mail. And they have huge auctions. And also, I've got some pretty good contacts with a couple of big dealers that I can talk to, too, about putting the word out to find these for us. And hopefully, we don't need a brand new truck. We need something that'll work. Mm-hmm. So we might be able to get a pretty good deal. But, yeah, once we know how big of a truck we need, I don't think we're going to need that big of a truck. I don't know that we're going to be using this jetter all that much either.
Aaron says we'll be using it a full week per month.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He told me one day a week.
Okay.
He told me a full week per month.
Week.
Well,
yeah.
That's basically
thing.
That's fine.
Basically the same
anyway,
thing.
Yeah, before we go ahead and pick something out and want to pay for it, let me know what the specs are going to be on it because I get this stuff every week.
All right.
So it's not that we don't want them to have the dump truck and stuff. It's just that...
keep the cost effective.
I agree.
All right. So we'll proceed. I guess there's no motion. Then we've directed staff as such. And thank you.
Thank you for the report, too.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to item 12, closed session. There are three items. First is 12A, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure.
To hang around because I think it'll probably be a long closed.
This could be a long closed session.
And if it's possible that we could have closed session in here.
I guess it is possible we can have a closed session here. Okay.
Anybody so if we do any public comment or anything like that.
The agenda? Okay. Board member comments this evening? Item number 13.
I would like to thank all the members of the Farmers Market Committee, all the residents that came out, all the vendors. Thank you so much. I love the way you love Oceano. Thank you.
Any other board comment this evening? Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out to people, this board, I don't think in our nature that we're micromanagers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're having to micromanage right now, and it's not a very comfortable feeling. But I don't plan on keep micromanaging. Yeah. So I'm sorry it's taking so much.
there's no other board comment, received written communications, none. Late received written communications, I don't think there are any, are there, Jocelyn?
There's this letter from...
Your microphone's off.
I believe there were letters that were sent in and attached.
Are you talking about the one from Lynn Hill?
Lynn Hill, and also there was one from Julie.
Yeah.
Okay. The one from Lynn Hill is actually, it started with an email from her regarding, that's item 12B, the anticipated litigation.
There was only one thing on that one letter that, I think it was from a Ms. Hill, that she had mentioned something about garbage services, and I don't think we do garbage services.
We have a friend, we franchise.
Yeah, we franchise, but we don't do garbage services. So. I just didn't know what you...
All right. Item 16, future agenda items other than that we've already discussed? No, I think we've got a pretty busy couple of meetings ahead of us. Yeah.
I'd like to actually put the master water plan on the agenda.
Oh, good idea. Good idea.
The IRWM.
Why don't you add that?
Integrated Regional
Water
Master.
We need to bring the resolution establishing the farmers market back to committee so we can rescind it.
Okay. You got that, Caroline? All right. Moving on to item number 17, public comment. Is there any other public comment? Jennifer? She's nodding. Good evening, Ms. Blackburn.
Thank you. Jennifer Blackburn again, Oceano. I just wanted to respond regarding item 10D. I do appreciate the desire for policy and uniformity, and I understand the possibility of abuse as well. However, I did want to point out that pulling the files and redacting as necessary would all be done anyway free of charge for someone who came into the office just to look at it. So the additional time copying or I mean, I realize that there is a cost to that, but
excuse
the
me, hold copy, on 1 second.
You guys, we can't hear.
We can't.
You guys
hear.
Are. Thanks. All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
That's sorry, okay. Jennifer.
No, that's okay. Just after that is already done to be able to look at it in the office, I feel like the cost to copy, the time to email or scan it would be minimal. But I do understand the desire to cover the cost. So I just wanted to let you know that I do agree with the decision to look into the reasonable fees further. So I just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Ms. Blackburn. Any other public comment this evening?
Thank you.
All right. With no further ado, we'll adjourn and do closed session. I guess we're going to stay in here. So. That's all the trash. We're going now.
Good night.
All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. We just returned from special closed session. It is 10:02 p.m. We have announcements out of closed session as to item 12A. This is regarding the Terry Franke letter. District Council was directed to respond to the cease and desist correspondence from Terry Franke with direction that will be placed in writing and sent out. As to item B, which is the Conference of Legal Counsel for Anticipated Litigation, this is the letter from Lynn Hill, which was originated by an email and then followed up with a letter. District Council was directed to contact Lynn Hill by letter requesting clarification. As to item 12C, public employee appointment for the interim general manager of the Oceana Community Services District, two candidates will be interviewed at a special meeting at a time and place to be set. That is all the items. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Third.
Colin?